In the summer of 2024, athletes, coaches and support staff from all the corners of the globe will compete at the Paris Olympic Games. Millions, if not billions of people around the world will watch their sporting heroes represent their countries in 32 different sports. 12 men's teams will battle it out in the gymnastics event. Great Britain have finished fourth in the past two Olympic Games and they'll be hoping to go one step further in France. Who will earn a plane ticket to France and what team will be selected? And this is my story. So, I'm going to start with the past today. I'm really excited for this episode. We're going to do an Olympic team prediction and we're going to go back for a few Olympic Games. So in Sydney in 2000, the men's British team didn't qualify a team. 2004, same thing, no full team. And then 2008 in Beijing, we only qualified two individual spots. So 2012 was the first time in a very long time we'd qualified a full team to represent Great Britain at the Olympic Games. Now, in 2012, we finished third. We made history. It was the first time in 100 years. And then four years later, in Rio 2016, we finished fourth. We had Christian on the podcast very recently, and I kind of said to him, I actually felt that that team in Rio was probably better than the team we had in 2012. 4 years after that, and it actually turned out to be 5 years because of the COVID pandemic, in Tokyo, we finished fourth again. This time there was quite a big gap between us and the third place. I think it was about 6 marks, which is a real big gap in gymnastics. But again, another fourth place, and that meant that in four Olympic Games, we'd finished with inside the top four teams in the world, which if you consider that the Great Britain team was ranked 23rd in 2003, that's an incredible achievement. You have to go back to probably 1992, was the last time we'd made the team final before 2012. So again, another 20 years it had been up until 2012 when we made that team final for the first time. So to be getting into a team final at Olympic Games on four Olympic Games back to back and then finishing top four is amazing. If you're finishing fourth, you're really within shout of a medal. And if I look back at that competition in Tokyo, I think the top three teams were just incredibly strong. I think they were Japan, Russia and China doing incredibly difficult gymnastics. And we kind of were the best of the rest after that. I think we did have a few mistakes, but ultimately, those three teams were just, at that point in time, light years ahead of everybody else. And I think it's important to note as well, those teams maybe weren't affected by COVID as much as the British team and some of the other countries were. I think they were able to train a little bit more, particularly in China and Russia. I know that they didn't miss any training. They were just training the whole way through. I think it's important to note that. And when we look back at this Olympic cycle, so going into Paris 2024, because that Olympic Games was in 2021, it meant that there was only two World Championships. So the 2022 World Championships in Liverpool, that's where the Olympic selection started for the Paris Games. The Great Britain team did incredibly well and they finished third. They had a difficult start on the pommel horse, made some big mistakes, but managed to rally and come all the way and finish third in that competition, which automatically qualified them for the Olympic Games. That was massive. That's the earliest we've ever qualified a team for an Olympic Games. So that meant that we've now had 2 years to prepare as a country and as a sport for that Olympic Games, which is going to be really interesting to see how that translates into the results in Paris. Super interesting. And the last two World Championships, so 2022 and 2023, we finished third in 2022 and we finished fourth in 2023, so just last year. And the scores that we got were 2.47 plus about half a mark in 2022. And that we finished third with that score, so 2.47. And then a year later, 2023, we actually got a much higher score. So we increased our score by 2 marks. So it was 2.49. And I say we, it's not me. I'm talking as the sport in general. We scored 2.49. So that was 2 marks up from the year before, but actually finished in fourth place. So I think what's represented there is actually the improvement the American team made. That's probably the big difference in this cycle is that in the last cycle up to Tokyo, there'd been a real change within the American men's team. They've changed their coaching staff. They completely changed their philosophy, which is really interesting. I'll probably do a podcast on this at some point where they decided that from when the new coaching staff came in, they were only going to take scores into account. So you had to hit scores for them to select a team, and they were going to go purely based off of stats and maths, a bit like the film Moneyball. So really cool. And initially what happened was, I think the gymnast took a few years to adjust to that, and there were quite a few mistakes. But actually, what they've had in this cycle is they've been incredibly consistent, and their difficulty is also now catching up the top 2-3 teams in the world. So it's been really interesting to watch their improvement and become incredibly consistent. And I think that was always my slight on America when I was competing. They had like a team of incredibly good individuals, but they didn't really work well as a team. And when they were in those team events, it kind of, they tended to break down in those big pressure situations. So yeah, it was really cool to see the American team pushing on like that. That is a threat to the British team, because they are kind of battling it out with Great Britain at the minute. You've almost got two competitions going on. That was kind of the case at the Worlds last year. You had China and Japan battling it out, and then you had America and GB battling it out for that kind of third place spot. And I believe that the difference was 3 marks. So it was 3 marks difference between America in third place and GB in fourth place. But the GB team did have quite a few mistakes and quite a few low scores. So there are certainly places there where people could potentially look to come into the team and improve on some of those weaker spots. But a lot of those weaker spots, I certainly wouldn't say that that team was weak in any way, shape or form. They just had a few mistakes on the day. But if you were a gymnast that wasn't part of that team at the World Championships, you'll be coming into this year looking at, okay, what advantages do I have? What are my strengths? And where could I potentially improve that team score? So, I think individually, we've only had 3 individual medals, I think, this cycle. So we've had Johnny, who came on the podcast, and he spoke about that floor gold medal he won at the World Championships, which was an incredible result. We've had Courtney, who won a bronze medal on the rings, same World Championships. And then at the Worlds in 2023, almost iconic now, we had Jake Jarman win the vault gold medal. And everyone will remember his vault from the team final. Just, I genuinely sat down and I thought about this, and I really do think, and I'd love to talk to him about this. He said that he's up for coming on the podcast. I think that's probably the best vault I've ever seen performed, which is unbelievable. From an execution standpoint, difficulty standpoint, the situation, the atmosphere and the pressure. I'd love to get him on to talk about that. But Jake won that incredible gold medal there. So 3 individual medals at World Championship level. And normally we've got used to a lot more. But one thing I would say is obviously Max missed the World Championships in 2022. Came back last year, got to the final, made a mistake in the final. He had qualified with a big score, 15-2. Team final, again, put another big score up. So he's hit 2 out of 3 of his routines there. So, normally Max is the type of athlete that's going to take home a medal. But the fact that Jake won one was brilliant. And it's almost a bonus now that you're going into an Olympic Games and you've got Jake will definitely be a favourite to win a vault medal at the Olympic Games. And Max is 100% going to be a favourite to win a pommel medal if they're both on that same team. So that's brilliant. You're going in with 2 potential chances of individual medals there. I think if I look specifically at the Worlds in 2023, the first person I'm going to talk about is Jake. So we spoke about his vault there. His real strengths that he's bringing to the team at the moment are definitely his difficulty on floor and vault. Parallel bars, he's got a very, very good routine as well. If I was going to put his strengths of floor, vault, P-bars, he swings well on pommel as well. Pretty light, so he started doing quite a bit of strength on rings. And on high bar, he started to put in some real difficulty in his high bar routine, so he's doing one of the most incredibly straight casinas. It's incredible. And he actually put it out there on the floor in the all-around competition. And again, he's really building all around. In 2022, I think he finished 5th. In 2023, he had a few mistakes, but he tried to put out some big gymnastics that he's going to be aiming to compete this year. So Jake's real strengths are floor, vault, parallel bars for sure. But then he can fill in on all 3 of the other events. And actually, the team seems to use him, particularly through 2022, 2023, as an anchor on high bar. If the team starts on floor and finishes on high bar, he's normally the guy to go up last. Jake's very well balanced all arounder, and it's going to be very difficult, I think, for somebody to knock him off the team going into the Olympic Games, unless, you know, there's an injury or again, you still have to put the scores up in the trial events. Jake is looking like probably one of them one of the biggest locks on the team, I'd say, going into this year, in my opinion. Next, I'm going to talk about, let's talk about Harry. So Harry's probably was the surprise of last year. Harry's only 19, so he was 19 going into that Worlds. You know, people will know him for his difficulty on floor probably more than anything. But last year he had some incredible success on vault in that World Cup circuit. He was picking up loads of medals, very consistent. I still find it odd that now on vault in this cycle right now, you can do two vaults from the same entry. So you could do a handspring and a twist vault, a handspring and a somersault vault. That seems strange to me because that was... you could never do that while I was competing. So I still find that strange from a technical judging standpoint. But for him, for those vaults, it's amazing because he's incredibly consistent with that handspring takeoff. And he sticks those vaults a lot of the time too. And then at the World Championships going in, just 19, he managed to perform on free apparatus. So Harry's an interesting one because he's one of those athletes that is just going to compete. He knows that I'm only going to compete on free apparatus before he goes in, whereas a lot of athletes and a lot of gymnasts will be trying to trial for these big competitions on six, and then they might get selected for two apparatus or three or four, whereas Harry just has to work on those free apparatus. So yeah, really interesting that he did so incredibly well in the qualifying event and qualified for three finals. Now, I'm trying to think and use my my nerdy gymnastics knowledge. I think that's the first time any male gymnast, certainly in modern history, has ever qualified for three individual finals, different finals in one event. So he's made history there at 19. And the big thing about him competing at 19 at a major event like that is when the nomination panel, so the people that pick a team for a major championships, sit around a table, one of the biggest slights they always have on a young athlete is that they've not got the experience yet. Now, what's really frustrating is when you are that young athlete, you can only get the experience if you get given a chance. And it's quite tough going into an Olympic Games. If you've never had any of that experience before and they kind of throw you to the wolves, it's very hard. You have to be incredibly good and you have to have almost won every single Olympic trial to be selected for that team, because the selectors are going to go, we don't know how he's going to perform under pressure, the pressure and the lights and the cameras of an Olympic Games or a World Championship. So the fact that he broke through last year at 19 and performed so well under that pressure at the World Championships, that is now not going to be an argument when it comes to that Olympic selection for Paris, because he's already done it. So yeah, Harry, for me, was a real big surprise. I think the other thing is as well, particularly on vault and rings, incredibly consistent with his routines, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Floor is the one that is a little bit inconsistent. I think in the team final, there was maybe a mistake. Floor is a really tough apparatus because if you're doing a big, massive routine, there's a lot of risk. And, you know, you have to land on your feet and it's really easy to lose a lot of marks. You know, when you see the gymnasts on TV, when they do a small hop or a small step, and when I say small, we're talking a foot's width, basically, that's a 0.1. Anything bigger than that is a 0.3, and then a big step is a 0.5. If you step outside the lines on the floor, so you'll see often the gymnasts on TV will step outside the line and you can hear the crowd go like that. It's actually only a 0.1 if 1 foot goes outside the line. But you add that to the size of a step. So if I did a small step and went outside the line, it'd be a 0.1 for the small step and a 0.1 for going outside the line. If I did a big step, it'd be a 0.3 or a 0.5 plus the 0.1. And what you don't want to do is land completely outside of the lines. If you do that, you'll lose the value of the skill and that really affects your score. So there's a lot of risk on floor and Harry does a very difficult routine. So that's an area where he's maybe a little bit less consistent in comparison to the rings and the vault. Okay, the next gymnast I'm going to talk about is going to be James. So James, for me, just unbelievable. If you think back to 2017, was the first time he made his debut at a European Championships. He went and competed in the all-round, did incredibly well, finished third, and he's pretty much stayed on the team all the way from 2017 through to going into Paris 2024. And I know how it works as you get older and you've already done your cycle, or the cycle where people, the gymnastics community, tend to consider it to be your peak around the age of 23, 24. The conversations and the talk as soon as that Olympic Games finishes, so for James it would have been Tokyo, is, okay, these guys are getting a bit old now. They might stay around for another couple of years, but they won't be there in Paris. And this is always a mistake, I think, of the younger athletes coming through. They tend to think, these older guys won't be there in 4 years' time. In my experience, the Olympic team from the previous games will pretty much be the same for the next one, bar one or maybe two spots. And that's been the case for the last three Olympic games. So I really think James is in a great position going into this year. I'm sure at his age now, physically he's struggling. But the incredible thing about James, and I think the thing that's sets him apart, which has surprised me over the last 12 to 18 months, is that he keeps trying to take that difficulty higher and raise that bar. Even though he's getting older, he could have sat in his position and gone, right, I just need to hold on to my place and make sure none of these junior athletes beat me and try and be consistent. And we had this conversation with Christian on the podcast very recently, where Christian explained, my biggest worry going into the Rio 2016 Olympic Games was whether or not my difficulty would be high enough. I think in some ways, James had learned from Christian, whether he's done that subconsciously or he's had a conversation with Christian, he might have done. And he's gone, right, I can't let anyone catch me difficulty-wise, so I need to keep raising that bar. And it's been amazing to see him trying to do a handspring 2.5 on vault. On high bar, he's trying to connect a Coleman into a straight Gaylord, which is a straight somersault with a half turn. And he's doing some really, really big gymnastics. So kudos to James for doing that, because he could have just kind of sat still and gone, right, I've been in the team for 7 years. You know, I'm just going to try and be consistent and almost play to... He's almost playing not to lose rather than playing to win. James is playing to win. And actually, his performance in the team competition at the World Championships last year, he had a couple of mistakes, and I know he was very disappointed with that. It's quite uncharacteristic of James. But then in the all-around competition, a couple of days later, he turned that around, did amazing, and finished within the top 10 again in the world. So if you're in the top 10 in the world, it's going to be tough going for people to come in and take an all-around spot from you. So I think James's biggest strengths are he's probably the most consistent across all of the apparatus. So probably the most well-rounded all-rounder that we've maybe got at the minute. Floor solid, pommel very strong, rings pretty strong, vault he's trying to upgrade. Even if he doesn't upgrade, he's got that 2.5, which is always a nice solid vault to have. Right now we're very strong on vault. Parallel bars, great piece for him, and high bar, a really good piece for James. High bar is a piece that maybe we're a little bit weak on. I think globally everybody is a little bit weak, and that is actually reflected in the target scores to make the Olympic team on high bar. It's the lowest score of all the scores. So they're definitely James's strengths. Next person I'm going to talk about is Courtney. So we had Courtney on the podcast too. Courtney's real strengths are definitely rings and vault. And his difficulty on rings and vault, he by far has the highest difficulty on rings. He has the highest difficulty on vault bar Jake. So he's doing two very different vaults. He does a forward vault, Dragulescu, and a backwards vault, which is a full in back out. That backwards vault is definitely more inconsistent than the forwards one. It's a blind landing, and it's an incredibly difficult vault. Normally tends to perform that as his second vault if they're in a team final. He seems to be doing the drag as his first vault. And then on rings, he keeps playing around with his construction on rings. I think at the Worlds last year, maybe they got that slightly wrong, because he seemed, for me, I kept thinking that his e-scores were incredibly harsh on rings. I'd have to watch that routine a few times to check his timings on everything to make sure that it was definitely 2 seconds. If you don't hit 2 seconds on rings for each strength element, you get big deductions. So I'd have to check that. But I did feel like his rings deductions were very harsh, and maybe that's to do with his construction. So I've noticed, even in the last 2 weeks, watching some of his training footage online on social media, that he's changed that construction. I actually quite like it. The bits that I've seen, I think that's going to suit him much better this year. And he's obviously, he has floor as well. I'd say the big difference between Courtney and Harry is that the difference between Courtney's ring score and Harry's ring score is a lot smaller than the difference between Harry's floor score and Courtney's floor score. So that's probably the big difference at the moment. Harry's doing slightly less difficulty on rings, so it's maybe a bit easier to be more consistent. Courtney's trying to push that because he's trying to win medals on rings. So yeah, I'd say that's the difference between the two. The advantage that Courtney's really got, he's got probably two more apparatus. So he can do floor like Harry, but he can do parallel bars and he can swing pommels. I know that he won't mind me saying this, he's quite scared of the high bar. but he can swing high bar, and I've seen him training high bar in the last few months. It always comes around, I think when it comes around to Olympic year for Courtney, he starts training all six apparatus again just to give himself the best possible chance. But he's a good P-bar worker, and he could be there as a third scorer on P-bar and anchor. In team events, in the qualifying, you have four people have to go up, so Courtney could do a P-bars routine and definitely a pommels routine as well. He's a good pommel worker. Swings good on pommel. He's very solid on pommel. So yeah, that's Courtney. And then the last person that was on the team was Max. Max got drafted, I think, 2022 World Championships. I was watching it at a hotel room in Ecuador. and had turned on just after the boys had had some mistakes on Pommel Horse. And they managed to claw their way the whole way back. And I can remember thinking, God, I bet Max is thinking, wow, this is perfect for me because I can come in here and make a real difference on Pommel. Max did that last year. I mean, the team score must have been up from the team final and the mistakes they'd made the year before massively on Pommels. So yeah, I think Max really fills that piece of the puzzle. And ultimately, like, we're pommel workers, right? That's what Great Britain are known for. That's what got us to the race in the first place. Back in the lead up to 2012, 2016, we had the gold and silver medalist at the Olympic Games. So we are pommel workers. And I think that's Max's real strength. And I think purely from a technical standpoint and a strategic standpoint for the team event, we need that big score on pommel. Without Max's score, we're then going to be maybe counting a high 13, a low 14, and Max can be getting, you know, low to mid 15s potentially, depending on the D score that he puts out and the routine. So that's a massive advantage in the team event. And I just can't see him being taken out of the team. He still has to hit those routines like anybody else. But for me, I think going into next year, if they're having the British Championships, the English Championships as the trials for the European Championships, I think, you know, you're going to do one routine at the English, you're going to have a qualifying at the British and then potentially a final. I'm thinking if Max hits two out of those three, I think he's on the team for the Europeans. If he goes to the Europeans and he hits his routine, he's definitely going to the Olympic Games. So that's going to be really tough for somebody to come in. There are other pommel workers. You've got gymnasts like Josh Nathan, really good on pommel horse. But I think, you know, Max also has a very solid parallel bars routine, and he can do a very solid high bar routine. He always has. And he's a great anchor to put first on high bar. I think we used him in the team final last year on high bar. Max is solid, and more than anything, his biggest advantage is obviously just the width and breadth of his career and experience, but his ability to perform under pressure. So if you need someone to go up and hit a bar routine, bar is one of those risky apparatus, you know, Max going up first is not a bad shout for a team final. So yeah, that was last year's World Championships. So next I'm going to talk about the guys that are probably the next five guys down who are looking to try and take one of those spots. Or we had Jack Blake on the podcast recently, and he was talking about players coming in trying to take his shirt. So someone coming in trying to take your plane ticket or your leotard. Joe Fraser, we had him on the podcast last year. Joe's an incredible gymnast, amazing role model, incredible all around. I think the strengths that Joe has probably for a team, a pommel horse, parallel bars and high bar, definitely. And I think if I look at weak spots from that World Championship team last year in terms of just scores and mistakes that were made, they were definitely missing a score on floor, definitely missing a score on pommels, definitely missing a score on P-bar, and definitely missing a score on high bar. So that's an area where Joe's going to be looking to kind of put up real big scores and show the selectors that he can increase that team score to the point at which they feel like they could really challenge for a team medal. Because the Olympic Games is always going to be about how many medals can you win as a sport, because that determines the funding you get for the next 4 years, potentially 8 years. So Joe's real strengths are pommel horse, parallel bars and high bar. It's his difficulty on those events and his execution. And then on the other events, floor, solid floor worker, vault, tends to struggle a little bit on vault in terms of doing a real difficult vault. He's been working that triple twist for a couple of years. I'm not sure where he's at with that. He's obviously had some injuries at the back end of last year, and he's coming back from those. So whether he gets that vault ready or not, whether he would need it, he might not need it. And rings, he's pretty strong on rings, actually. So Joe could be someone that could fill in if, for example, one of those two ring workers were to drop out. Joe would be able to fit that ring spot and probably be not too far off one of those scores. So yeah, they're probably Joe's real advantages. Next person I'm going to talk about is Johnny. We had Johnny on the podcast. It was really interesting sitting and listening to Johnny. You know, he initially had thought about retiring after he won that gold medal in 2022. We spoke to him on the podcast last year. He was coming back from an injury again, but enjoying training. For me, the impression I got from Johnny was that he was just kind of going to go for it, but, you know, was quite happy with what he'd done in his career. I think that probably makes him quite dangerous. You know, he's going to go into the year with kind of nothing to lose type of an attitude. He's looking really good from his training footage. It's going to be interesting to see how the body holds up with the surgeries that he's had. He's had multiple, and maybe not put them under the pressure of preparing for a gymnastics competition and just the toll it takes competing in big events on hard surfaces and what that will be like. I think Johnny's real strengths are obviously floor. He's been a world champion. Vault as well. Could definitely be another vaulter. It's amazing to me that we've almost flipped from being very good technical a very good technical team back in 2012. Very good on pommels, good on P-bars, decent high bar routine, but not as great and powerful. And we were very good on floor. We were very good technically on floor, but not as powerful and definitely not as strong on like rings, bit weaker on vault. I think we even did double twists in the team final in 2012. So that says a lot about how much we've moved. And I'd say in 2023, our strongest apparatus were rings and vault. I don't think there's many people that could come into that team and improve those scores. And they've become, the power events have become our real strengths, which is interesting. And it shows actually the mind shift within the whole men's program, because when I was coming up, we were just known as not being very strong on rings. And they've broke that mold now. And I see, you know, I go into the gym and I coach on a Thursday at Knotts, and lots of these young guys are doing ring sequences, and it just like it's nothing, you know, a bit like I was doing like high bar releases like it was nothing. They've kind of broke that mold, which is really exciting, because that is an area where we've always been quite far behind the biggest teams in the world. So I think that, yeah, Johnny coming in, floor, vault, parallel bars, so quite similar to Joe. Johnny can also swing pommel, he can swing high bar. Rings is a little weak, and it's going to be tough for him with that shoulder, so that will probably be the event he'll struggle with the most. But definitely floor, parallel bars and vault, so in a way quite similar to Joe, and they're both good all-rounders, so they could go into those competitions at the start of the year and have really good results in the all-around and potentially be looking to take an all-around spot off somebody. Next person I'm going to talk about is going to be Luke Whitehouse. So Luke trains at the same gym as Harry. They're a similar age, and Luke last year became a European champion on floor, so I can't not talk about him. That's an incredible achievement. I think actually become the third European European champion we've had from Great Britain after Christian Thomas and Dominic Cunningham. So we have a lot of history on that apparatus. Did an incredible routine. It was an amazing routine. I can remember watching it with Frank. We did the live stream, and it was just an awesome routine. Started with a triple back, had everything that routine. Incredibly good technique on floor, very stylish, just a brilliant routine. And then kind of got jumped by Harry into the world's team. And Luke's strengths, I think, are floor, vault, good on rings. I remember him competing in the Masters final at the British Championships last year. Decent on P-bars, good on high bar as well, on pommels. But I think he's all around, and his difficulty isn't quite there. He's a bit younger than the other all-arounders like Joe and Johnny that are going to be going for an all-around spot. So his real strengths are going to be probably floor, vault, parallel bars, rings, and he will be doing all-around as well. But I think for Luke, he's got nothing to lose. He's very young. His main priority is going to be the next cycle. He's going to be one of those young guys thinking that the old guys aren't going to be there in 4 years' time once we get past the Paris Olympic Games. But he's got a bright future, and he's still going to be there within the mix, and you never know what can happen. Things can change and people can come completely out of the blue and look like they're sure in for a spot, so it's going to be really exciting to watch that. And then the other two people I'm going to talk about are Josh Nathan and Adam Tobin. So these two guys are kind of like the two guys that are called upon to be reserves a lot in this cycle, and they're incredibly consistent all-arounders, very solid. In the past, prior to 2012, every team event would have six men in it, and that got reduced to five. So prior to the 2012 Olympic Games, when you would pick a reserve, you would normally just pick somebody that was a really balanced all-rounder. So you'd pick the next best all-rounder that wasn't at the Games, essentially. So at the minute, that would be someone like Josh or Adam. What's happened now is they've reduced those numbers of a team to five, which means there are more specialists within the team. So what they've done at the last two Olympic Games, rather than picking one reserve, they've picked three reserves, left it open, and those reserves are a mixture of an all-rounder and then probably two that are good on half of the events each. So that if someone in the team gets injured, it's a direct swap in terms of the apparatus strengths that they have. And that's happened because the IOC want more countries participating in the Olympic Games, because they can now then sell advertising through TV revenue to all of the big sponsors. So the countries will, or the TV broadcasting people will go to the IOC, the Olympic Committee. They'll pay for the rights to show the footage on their broadcasting channel. And then the sponsors will pay the IOC to sponsor at the Olympic Games. So they want as many countries as possible to be able to watch the Olympic Games, because it's more money, essentially, and more revenue through advertisement and broadcasting. So they want more countries participating in the sports, because if someone from your country is taking part in the men's gymnastics competition, more people are likely to tune in. So they've reduced the numbers of guys that are on each team, and they've increased the numbers of countries participating. They haven't changed the numbers of gymnasts that will compete in Olympic Games. Let's say that number is 100. For an example, it's not, but let's say 100 men will compete at the Olympic Games in Paris. Okay, now, what they've done in the past, they had 6 men in the team event, so there was only maybe 60 people competing as individuals. They've now gone, right, let's bring those team numbers down to just 5, so it's come down to just 5, but we'll increase the amount of other countries that are able to compete so more eyeballs can watch the sport. So that's why that's happened. And I think, you know, it's made the sport actually quite exciting in a team final. You know, it's just free up, free to count. So if you make a mistake, you've got to count that mistake. Makes it super exciting to watch. That's why I always say on this podcast, like, if you get the chance to watch a team final, whether it's the men or the women, it's the most exciting event. There's the most on the line. We've had gymnasts sitting here in the podcast. They've all said the same thing. That pressure in a team final is completely different to just going out there and representing yourself. So I think that's changed things a little bit. But I think Josh certainly has his strength as pommel horse. A couple of years ago, he had an incredible year, won a lot of World Cup medals on the pommel horse, was doing very, very well, and has competed at European Championships, made finals there, in the all-around. Adam, same thing. Adam's been a reserve for quite a few competitions now, so he's got that experience of being in and around it. He needs that shot himself to compete at a major championships and to be actually out there competing, but he's incredibly consistent, really well-balanced all around us, certainly has some strengths, does some really beautiful gymnastics. Particularly love watching his Rabalco on high bar. It's amazing. Great high bar worker, good floor worker, solid on pommel, solid on P-bar, quite strong on rings, good vault. So he's somebody that could, you know, turn up this year and have a really solid 6-piece competition at the English, then the British, and all of a sudden his name's in the mix. So Josh and Adam, they're going to be there. And then I think when I think about the strategy that the selectors, the national coaches, the performance director are going to go for, I know that the performance target for this Olympic Games for the men's team is 1 to 2 medals. So that's their priority, is trying to get 1 to 2 medals. Now, 2012, we had 3 medals. 2016, we had 4 medals. Tokyo, we had 1 medal. So their target now is 1 to 2 medals for men's gymnastics. But for gymnastics as a whole, it's 4 to 6. So that's including women's and trampoline. So if it's 1 to 2 for men's, 1 to 2 for women's, 1 to 2 for trampoline, they're banking on each one of those sports getting 2 medals. We've obviously got Jake's, the reigning world champion on vault. We've got Max, the reigning Olympic champion on pommel horse. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting how they go, but that is going to steer the team that they select, those performance targets. And the next thing that they take into consideration, which is the most important thing, is recent results. So they'll take that Worlds into consideration for sure, but they will take current form into consideration. Gymnastics is one of those sports where injuries can happen like this. People can all of a sudden start struggling, being able to not put it together on the day, and their performance drops. So they are going to take those recent performances into account for sure, probably over past performances, but they'll take the whole cycle into account, and particularly major championship success over those 2 years. It's kind of a pyramid of hierarchy. It will be World Championships, European Championships, then probably World Cups and Commonwealth Games, and then National Championships. But they will take those recent competitions into account because they're most important, right? It's how you're performing right now, because they need to pick the best team as close to the games as possible, because form can change all the time. So that's probably the strategy that they're going to go for. In terms of the way that they're going to pick the team, are they going to pick it with a team result in mind or with individual success in mind? That will play a big factor into the team that gets selected. Now, before going back and watching both of the last 2 World Championships and actually looking at the scores and people's routines and looking at the gaps between us and third place, I would have said, I think they're going to go for individual results. And then if they get a great team result, then it's a bonus. But I actually think that it makes sense going for a real strong team. They're only 3 marks behind the American team. An Olympic Games is a different type of pressure anyway, and you've got someone like Max with that experience in that team. That's going to massively help if you're the younger guys with not quite as much experience. You can look to Max for kind of, he's been in that situation before. He'll be able to keep those guys calm. And I actually think that they can catch the Americans, particularly because at the last World Championships, they had a bad score counting on floor, bad score counting on pommel, bad score on P-bar, and a bad score on high bar. I think if they can improve those apparatus, and probably only three out of four of those scores, that's the three marks they'd need to be right there with America. So I personally think they should aim for the highest team result, and that is always my priority. I always say, look, the stronger your team, the better chance you've got of getting individual success. So just try and build the strongest possible team you can, because that translates then into the individual events. You can't have one of the best teams in the world without having two of the best all-arounders in the world, or having some individual all-stars on those individual apparatus. You can't. It doesn't work like that. You have to have those. So go for the highest team result you possibly can. So I do actually think they're going to do that, looking at it. And the big thing, I guess, the elephant in the room for everyone that will be competing in that team event is there's no Russia, right? Russia aren't competing, and Russia are the reigning Olympic champions. And there's no doubt that they would have been right up there in the top three. So that means that it's an opportunity to take. You've got to take that opportunity. You know, the last two Olympic Games, we finished fourth. You know, in Rio, it was by just over a mark, super close. Lewis fell from pommel on that last apparatus, but it still wouldn't have been enough to win that medal. Tokyo was a big gap, and I think it's a real opportunity to go for that Olympic team medal, because winning a team medal is huge. It does so much for the sport. An individual medal is great, but to be able to have a whole team of medalists, that's massive, and that's going to provide the next springboard for the next generation of kids coming through, which is really, really important, because we need that. We need to keep this legacy going. Gymnastics isn't one of those sports that is, it's not like football, rugby or cricket in this country. We need the kids coming in, and that inspiration of potentially winning another team medal would be huge. So I think that they should aim for that. And I think they actually will. Looking at the maths and the statistics and the gaps, I think they'll go for it. And I think they can create a team that is capable of challenging for a team medal and getting some really good individual success. All around, at the moment, I don't necessarily think we've got all arounders that are really challenging for those top three spots. However, that can change. Jake last year was trying to put in some incredible difficulty. You know, if he gets the casino into his high bar routine and he's doing his full floor routine and he's got his 3.5 on vault and he improves the difficulty a little bit on pommels and rings, there's no reason why he can't be up there. I think any score kind of over 85 is going to be there. Olympic Games, it's normally a bit higher, so you may be looking 86. Chinese and Japanese gymnasts, they're obviously going to be hitting massive scores, but you've got to remember there can only be two of them in the final. So I think we've got two all-arounders that can be in the top 10 for sure. Whether we've got someone that can challenge for a medal, I'm not quite sure, just because we've not seen it yet. We've not seen that for a long time, I'd say, at World Championships level. And then individually, you know, vault now is such a strong event for us. Whatever team that gets selected, potentially, you know, within Johnny, Jake, Courtney, you've got three guys that could make a vault final, which is amazing. You know, on rings, we're a lot stronger than we were. And I think the difference is we've got, say, Courtney and then Harry just underneath them in terms of difficulty and the level they're competing at. But the all-rounders we've got now are closing that gap to them, which is massive and really helps the team. Pommel horse, obviously, we've got Max, and there's no reason why someone like Joe couldn't make a pommel final, or Josh Nathan. They've got the ability to do that. Floor, we're a very strong team. Technically, we're great. We've got a lot of great floor workers. It's going to come down to the execution of those routines, I think, which is quite hard and very hard under pressure. When you're doing very big, difficult routines, these new floors that the gymnasts are competing on now are so bouncy, it means that you can do a lot more difficulty and the load that's going through your joints is a lot less, so you can do more repetitions. But with that difficulty comes more risk. If you think back to 2012, those floor routines that Max, Dan and Christian did, there wasn't a lot of risk, and two of those tumbles in each of those routines were rollouts, so you didn't have to land on your feet. I think high bar is probably our weak event. It's where we're struggling, but everybody struggles on high bar just globally in general, bar maybe Japan and America, even China to be fair. So high bar is going to be an area where if somebody can start putting up some big scores in those trials early on in the year, they might be somebody that selectors look to fill that kind of weak spot in our team result and team score. And then parallel bars were pretty strong. So in terms of the scores that the athletes have to hit, On floor, they need to score a 14.1 and they need a 6 start value. This is where my memory's going to come in. On pommels, they need to score a 14.4 and they need a 6 start value. On rings, they need a 14.4 and a 6 start value. On vault, they need to average a 14.6 over the two vaults and it needs to be an average of a 5.6 start value. On p-bars, they need to score a 14.6 and it needs to be a 6 start value, and on a high bar it's just a 5.9 start value and they only have to hit a 13.8. Now what those scores are for everybody back there, when they come to select the team, everybody on that team needs to have hit at least one of those scores. Now how it was done in the past and whether that's still the same, I'm not 100% sure. You have to hit either an execution score, so a 14.1, so your final score, or the difficulty score. Now, whether or not now you have to hit both of them on the same apparatus, I'm not sure. In the past, you just had to hit one of them. That was to cover all bases, so to make sure that when they select the team, nobody could argue because they can say, we've basically followed our selection policy and that athlete has hit one of those scores. So they've made it really broad so that pretty much everybody that's going to be in contention for the Olympics is going to hit one of those scores at some point. The all-around score they need to hit is an 82.5. I think a lot of the guys will have probably already done that this cycle, whether that was a national competition or an international competition. A lot of the top all-rounders will probably hit an 82.5, but it is a difficult score to hit. So they're the scores that everybody's going to be aiming for. So if you're a ring specialist, you know, right, I've got to hit a 14.4 and I've got to do a 6 start value, or one or the other, depending on the actual clarification that they're going for on that. But the reason they do that is to make it really broad so that when the team's selected, if there is an appeal, they can go, look, we followed the procedure, they hit one of those scores, and that's why they've selected them. So that's the case, that's the scores that they're going to pick. And I guess the process that they're going to go for, how it works in Olympic Games, is the gymnasts will compete in the last two competitions, which will be the English and the British. And from what I understand, the Europeans team is going to be the Olympic team. So it's pretty much going to be selected. The Europeans team is so close to the Olympics that they will be the team, which I think is a really smart idea. That's a good thing. Everyone then in that team for the Europeans, they've got it in their head. They don't need to stress and they can focus on preparing for the Olympic Games. So after those two competitions, there's going to be a selection meeting. And in that meeting, you're going to have voting members and non-voting members. It's a mixture of coaches, judges, that'll be national coaches, performance directors. There's going to be two people there that are impartial, that are there, and those people can't have any allegiances to any of the athletes or the coaches. They have to be completely impartial. It's going to be looked over by somebody external, probably from the BOA, I would imagine. And it's quite a rigorous process now. Certainly after 2016, when there was a number of appeals put in, it's now become the spotlight is on every sport when they're selecting a team now. So they have to make sure they do it by the book, and it's a process that is done properly, and they really go off the numbers and their performance targets and the selection policy that they set. I hope that's the case. Anyway, I'm quite hopeful that it is. and hopefully, yeah, that process will be done fairly and justly, and that's how they're going to pick the team for the Olympic Games. And yeah, like I said, the panel is made up of a range of people. And after they select the team, it then goes to another panel, an independent panel, and they review whether the process had been done fairly and they'd followed the policy. So it does go, you know, there's two panels that it has to go through before it gets to the point where they say to the BOA, this is our Olympic team. And then the BOA have to then confirm that and rectify that. And then eventually it will be announced. I think the announcement date is the team is selected on May the 24th. And one difference I have noticed is that in the past, you had 48 hours to put in an appeal. So if you're an athlete later this year that feels like you should have been selected for the Olympic team, and you get the phone call to say you've not been selected, you now have 4 days to appeal that decision, which is great, because the 2 days which I had back in 2016 was such a short amount of time to be able to get all that information together, collate it, and then put forward your appeal. So it's great that they've now got 4 days. And then after the 28th of May, if there are no appeals, or if there are appeals and they're not upheld, then the team will be selected. And those athletes at that point will know that team, but it won't be announced until a later date. I believe that date is in June. So they'll have to keep it secret for all that time. They won't be able to tell their families and stuff. I think people around them at training will probably figure it out because they won't be there and they'll be training at certain places. But they'll have to keep it quiet. It'll be a five-man team. And yeah, that's kind of the process that they will go through. I mean, once a team is selected, I'll definitely do an Olympic Games preview where I talk about some of the other teams as well. We'll talk about the American team because they're going to be in competition with the GB team, the Chinese and Japanese team. So we'll definitely do that. Maybe I'll get a guest to come on and do that with me because it's been fun. It's been nice to do a purely gymnastics podcast. And if there's anyone out there that also wants me to elaborate or talk about a few other different topics, specifically in gymnastics, please let me know. I had a message from a guy called Andrew, whose son competes in gymnastics. I think his son, he said, is 18 and has hopes of like competing at a higher level. He says he's loving the podcast. And he's asked me to break down gymnastics a little bit more and do some more episodes. He really enjoyed the last one that I did that was more gymnastics based. And I said, look, I'm doing an Olympic team selection one. You'll enjoy that one. But I'm also want to do an episode in the lead up to the Olympic Games where I break down the actual gymnastics on the apparatus just for the average person at home watching so they have a better idea of what they're watching on the TV. Because I just don't think the sport does a great job of really explaining. It is very complicated and those scores are complicated, but explaining what types of skills a gymnast are doing on each apparatus. So I'm going to try and do that. And I think I'm going to finish off with my prediction. So I'm going to predict the team because that's important. I don't want to clickbait anyone. This was a prediction episode. It's going to be great if I have gymnasts on the episode, on the podcast, sorry, in the next few months. I'm going to ask for their prediction as well. I've got Niall coming on, so I'm going to ask him what his prediction is in a couple of weeks and see how close he is to mine. And I think my prediction for the team, as of right now, I think the top, I'm going to do the top six. So this is the five and the reserve. And I think right now I would select Jake, Max, James, Harry, Courtney, and Joe as the six. Now, Joe's been injured and he's not competed yet, but just looking at his training footage, it looks good. Also, Johnny's been injured, not competed yet, so I've not seen them. So at the minute, I think it's really hard for me to take one of those five from the last World Championships out of the team. But as a prediction for what I think's going to be happening, I think it's going to be those six. And if I was pushed really hard, I would say I think it's going to be Jake, Max, James, Harry. And then I think we're going to need a P-bar, a high-bar score and a floor score. So I think potentially it's going to be Joe. But it just depends. That's a big shout because Joe's obviously been injured. He's had surgery. He's got to compete again. And in order for him to do that, he's going to have to take Courtney's spot. But we'll just see. Because I really do like, you know, personally, that would be probably my head. But my heart, I think, I'd love Courtney to get the chance. He's been a reserve at the last two Olympic Games. I would love him to have the shot at competing at the Olympic Games. You know, I'm really excited to see his new construction of his rings routine. It's going to be interesting to see how everyone performs. And, you know, ultimately what will probably happen is someone will come from completely left field out of the blue and have an amazing year and might get themselves into the mix. So it's going to be super exciting. Going into those competitions, I'm going to be watching closely. I'd love to be involved in somehow, in some capacity, with maybe the European Championships or the Olympic Games. It'd be great to get involved somehow, whatever that might be, whether it's with TV or with radio. But we'll definitely be following it on the podcast and doing lots of episodes around the Olympic Games. But all the best to everybody that's going to compete this year. You know, I'm excited. Whatever team it is, it's going to be a very strong team. And I do personally, you know, I've got a soft spot for the team event. I do feel like the team medal is worth more than all of the other medals. And yeah, I hope that we pick the strongest team and we go for that team medal because I think they've got a real shot at winning an Olympic team medal in Paris. So thank you for listening, guys. And I will see you in the next episode.